C1P. Number 3B.
Yes. Let's run through it quick, then it just takes the piss of it, you see? You have to give a treatment. You say, well, treatment means to know the truth. That's the great overall tone, truth of mind, to know the truth. All right. And then you ask yourself, what kind of truth shall I know? And you, instead of just thinking about some funny truth that comes into your mind, you can really go along a cultured line by saying, well, to know the truth is actually knowing God. So to know the truth means to know mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. All right, so you say, therefore, I have to know mind. But then very soon you will say, well, what do I have to know about mind? So you always go further, you see. So Vishnu said, he says, well, I'll show you. You can know mind in all its various reflections of the seven synonymous terms. These are the subtones then. So you lean back and you contemplate and think, oh yes, I have to know that there is only one mind at work. That's the only mind there is at work. There is nothing else next to that mind. What does it mean from the point of view of subtone of mind? That this mind, that is all there is the only power. The error has no power. You go to spirit and you begin to see, and that mind that has the only power is the only reality in that whole case. There is no reality in disease and in that case. And you go to soul and see that that mind which is that all power, that all reality is far superior to any other situation, then far superior to the claim that the case presents itself. It's superior. And you have a mind at the point of soul that is superior. From the point of view of principle, you say, therefore I'm going to trust entirely into that mind and in no other mind. I build completely on the foundation of that mind. That's principle. You build on the foundation of that mind and see that there is no other principle at work. And you go on and see from the point of view of life that that mind that is all and therefore is all power. It's the only reality and therefore superior to everything and therefore the only thing that is foundational. At that point of life, this is the driving power, the life power, the driving life power. That is irresistible. It's that mind that acts in such a way that it cannot be resisted. And you come to the point of truth and say, and this mind at the point of truth is really conscious only of its own truth. It does not know anything but the truth. Therefore, an erroneous consciousness has to yield. And at the point of love, I feel, therefore, because that mind only knows truth and does not know error, there is no need for fear. Therefore, no fear can enter in, and therefore there is nothing that can stop the fulfillment of that mind's power. And you build up in this way a great sense of mind. Can you see? And you just don't say, well, mind is all, mind is short, mind is all, then mind is short again, and mind is perhaps intelligent, and then you are out of breath. That's the end of mind. So here you really turn it over from all aspects, and you fill your thoughts completely with that mind. Yes. Then you go to the second subject, spirit. Here again we have some kind of an anomaly, namely, while all the seven subjects are presented in seven subtones, the second subject on spirit doesn't seem to have distinct subtones. Why is this? I do not know. I do not. And that's the answer, that's the final answer. When I know again, then I will tell, but I don't know. She does not need to. There's no necessity. Just as we can sometimes just contemplate the synonymous term without really having to go through all the various aspects, she's absolutely entitled to do that too. But we can do it. If we like, we can do it. So we'll do that. But first, let's first see what Mrs. Eddy presents here in that second subject, just to see if you can detect the tone of spirit in regard or in distinction to that first subject on mind. The epitome that I have given here is truth knowing. See, that's the overall tone, truth and mind. It's based on the fact that spirit alone is substance and reality. You remember or you know that spirit is that synonymous term that characterizes substance and reality. The substance of spirit, the reality of spirit. So truth knowing is based on the fact that spirit alone is substance and reality, and that therefore matter, which is the counterfeit of spirit, and disease is usually material, are unreal. So you have reality versus unreality. And you can see that spirit is that which now has to show what is reality and what is unreality, because the case that we have to contemplate will say, I'm a material reality. I'm some kind of a wound or some kind of an inflammation or some kind of a disease that can be seen and felt and so on. It's material and it seems to be very real to the patient, or he wouldn't notice it if it wouldn't be very real to the patient. So we have to correct that and see that matter and disease are neither substantial, truly substantial, nor are they reality, but we must know the truth, and therefore we must know the truth about the so-called substance and reality of matter, namely that spirit is the only substance and the only reality, so that we are not leaning on the material. She tells here in a few paragraphs that if we make no reality of matter, that man can become its master, that he can really be the master, that he can really heal it, if you are not going to make reality out of matter. Can you hear the tone of spirit? And then we can comprehend Jesus' theology, healing the sick, raising the dead, and walking over the waste. Then we can understand the healing mechanism. So we have control over the belief that matter is substance. We have that control. By making no reality of disease, just as Luke or Paul or Jesus, he says, have not made a reality of disease. On the contrary, he says that what we should do is that we really understand the science of spirit. That we understand the science of spirit. Can you see? Not the science of mind now, but the science of spirit. And in this paragraph, she makes that interesting statement that she calls psychology the science of spirit. That's quite interesting, because today we will perhaps call psychology the science of the psyche, the science of the soul. But she at her time called psychology already the science of spirit. Actually, we must remember that when Mrs. Eddy was writing the textbook, that practically nobody at that time was speaking about psychology. You remember that only towards the end of the last century there were these first attempts in psychology, like Charcot in France, and then Janet in France. Then towards the turning of the century came Freud, later on Adler, already at the time when actually Mrs. Eddy was no more here. So you can see that the birth of the science of psychology coincides nearly with the time when Mrs. Eddy was already no more here or no more writing, and that therefore she was considering really that there is a true sense of psychology, namely that the spirit of God is really moving man and not the psyche of man. That man is a spiritual idea, and that actually the true psyche is that man reflects the one spirit, and that that spirit is moving man. So she calls it the science of spirit must be understood, and that would comprise, and this is interesting to see, that would comprise the prophylactic and therapeutic art of healing. It would comprise the preventive and the healing art of Christian Science. Therefore, if we begin to understand something about the reality of spirit, and our consciousness dwells in that realm of the substance, the reality of spirit, then we have the true psychology within us, and we know that psychology is really that which determines our outward experience. Therefore, having the psychology of spirit within us, there is no room for any disease to arise. So it is a prophylactic art of Christian Science, and not only the therapeutic art of Christian Science. Consequently, we can see that if we are entertaining the consciousness of spirit, that it acts as a preventive art, because the more we entertain the consciousness of spirit, nothing foreign can enter in, because spirit is always that which says, I pitch the ark, and no mortal mind can enter in. No false sense can enter in. So that there is no possibility that something of the nature of discord can manifest itself. That's why I always feel for a Christian Scientist, it should be natural that he is healthy, that he does not get sick. It should be natural and not just a terrific demonstration. It should be something very natural. And he shouldn't always have that fear that he can get sick and then say, but thank God I have Christian Science to heal me. In this case, he is asking for trouble. We should get into that natural habit that it is absolutely unnatural to become sick. And therefore that we should not always be thinking about how to heal the sick and how to help the sick, because that is already expecting that something has gone wrong and is going wrong. It's animal magnetism. Well, that's all what Mrs. Eddy says here about spirit. You see, it is actually not really very much what she says. Here she just presents that very fact that knowing the truth is knowing what? To know that that truth is spirit, that being is spirit, and that spirit is a spiritual substance, that not the material substance. That spiritual substance is the only reality there is. Therefore, there is no possibility, no occasion for matter and for matter manifesting itself as a material condition. But naturally, if we know really how to blend a synonymous term with all the other ideas, we can easily establish within our consciousness a sevenfold statement of truth knowing. Let's do that. Let's do that perhaps from that standpoint where we begin to see that we have to know the truth about spirit being the only reality, therefore that matter has no reality. But just to state that matter has no reality is a very short cut. Therefore, we can elaborate on that and say now, what are the arguments of matter? And just go through the seven. Now, let's go through the seven. What could be the argument of matter from the point of view of mind? We could see that matter does not exist in our thought, mind. That it just does not exist in our consciousness, in our thought, mind. From the point of view of spirit, we could see that matter is actually no reality. Wouldn't you see that? We could see that matter from the point of view of soul has no entity, has no name. So disease would have no name. That it would not constitute man. Or what could you see from the point of view of principle? We could see that matter, therefore, is no medicine, no healing system, that there is no material healing system, so that drugs and so on would be no healing agent. What could you see from the point of view of life? You could see that matter has no existence, has no isness, has no life. And from the point of view of truth, you could see that matter can never tell the truth because it has no truth, therefore can never tell us the truth, and therefore disease can never tell us the truth. It's always a lie. And from the point of view of love, perhaps we could see that matter has no advantage over the divine mind, so that we just can drop it. And in this way, can you see what you do in a treatment? You don't just leave something at the point of making a statement. You try to get to the core of the whole claim, namely, like here, that matter can be actual, that matter can be real, that matter can be substantial, and you just see that this is a claim that is not true. And you can only see that it is not true if you consider it from all seven standpoints. Actually, you could also take that whole subject from a positive standpoint. You see, you always can do the two things. When you say, I must know the truth about the synonymous term, you can know the truth about the synonymous term or the truth about the opposite claim. You have to know both. Now we have just considered the opposite claim, namely matter, and have debunked the claim of matter through the seven subtones. But we can also establish the fact that we should know the truth about spirit. And what would we see now if we would stay with the positive sense of spirit? And we would see that spirit is the only reality. So what could we see? We will perhaps see from the standpoint of mind what? That mind creates all reality. That only the divine mind creates all reality. From the point of view of spirit, we perhaps could see that the only reality there is a spiritual reality. It's of the nature and substance of spirit. What could we see about this reality of spirit from the point of view of soul? You could see that reality is unchangeable. that nothing can change it. No disease, nothing can change it. No accident can change it. From the point of view of principle, what would you see about this reality? You would see that there is actually only a spiritual principle that can heal, that can operate as healing, that there is in reality no other operative healing power. Or from the point of view of life, you could see that that reality is the only reality that will ever exist, that it has existed since time immemorial, that it is and will ever be, and that nothing can destroy that reality. And from the point of view of truth, what could you see about this reality of spirit? You could see that that reality constitutes a spiritual consciousness that is conscious of its reality, a consciousness that knows what reality is. And from the point of view of love, what could you see? For instance, you could see, because love always says, I'm all and there is nothing besides me, that the spiritual reality is the only reality there exists, and there can exist no other reality. Yes. See, that's what you entertain if you know the seven synonymous term. I'm sorry for those who don't know the seven synonymous term, they don't quite know what I'm saying. But those who know the seven synonymous term, they know that what I've been doing is what we naturally were exercising in the syllabus class on blending, that we can see that every synonymous term always reflects every other synonymous term. And that only through that reflection do we really establish a complete consciousness. Yes. Well, that's the tone of spirit. We come to the third subject, soul. Here we have the epitome that truth knowing demands rising above sin and corporeality. You can see again here, it is truth and mind. What truth should we know? What kind of truth should we know? Namely, soul. Soul is always that which is above sin and corporeality. So we are contemplating the truth about soul, and therefore in our treatment we just rise above the whole corporeal concept, rise above the bodily concept, and see that the whole case that is presented to us and which appears as being a disease belonging to a body and being a bodily condition, that we are not taking that into consideration but rise above body. Soul is that which handles the concept of body and says that soul is never in body but is always in the realm that is superior to body, outside the body, and therefore we have to rise in consciousness above that mortal sense. So Mrs. Eddy presents here that rising above, and in the epitome you see that I try to elaborate always on that rising above. All the subtones I try to formulate so that it shows the rising above. You see, every epitome starts with rising above. So as to say, now what does it mean to rise above a situation? Well, we always only have to take 7 points into consideration, namely the facts about mind and its counterfeit, the fact about spirit and its counterfeit, about soul and counterfeit, and so on. Therefore, in our treatment we know the truth by rising above all the counterfeits. All the counterfeit concepts, which would show us at once that in mind
we would have to rise above the mortal sense of things by spiritualizing thought. So can you hear the tone of mind that has to do with all the thinking, with the plane of thinking, and says, actually, we must rise above the plane of thinking, above the human and mortal sense of thinking. Here it is, rising above willful error and sin, rising above murmuring or to be angry over sin. You see that murmuring and be angry is a mental state, and say, rise above that whole mortal mind state. It's no use to murmur about a situation. She says, what is needed is to be every whit whole. What is needed to be every whit whole? She says, well, forsake the mortal sense of things. Turn from the lie of the false belief to truth, and gather the facts of being from divine mind. Can you hear? She ends up with the divine mind. So, do you see what it means when we shall know the truth about soul, about rising above a situation? You rise above the counterfeit of mind. You rise above about mortal thinking, willful thought, about willful error, about the mortal sense of things. You rise above all that mental concept, and you gather your facts of being from mind. So in this way we really see how we rise above the mental level. So he says, therefore the body improves under the spiritualization of thought. And this is the law of cause and effect, like producing like. Can you hear the whole tone when you know mind, that it has to do with law and with the law of cause and effect, that therefore if we rise above the mortal thinking plane of consciousness, of awareness, and rise above thinking and gather the facts from the divine mind, then we can be quite sure that then we have found the true cause, and that the true cause will bring forth the true effect, and this is the healing agent.